Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come and let your glory come, and let your glory fall. Our Father, who art in heaven, the rocks cry out your fame. Come and let your glory come, and let your glory fall. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song to the Lord. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim the mercy of your name, on earth as it is in heaven. God, give us new every morning. Mercy is daily bread. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus we pray. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us with your hand. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus we pray. Father, we pray. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song to the Lord. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim the mercy of your name, on earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim the mercy of your name, on earth as it is in heaven. For the kingdom is yours, and the power is yours, and the glory forever, amen. And the kingdom is yours, and the power is yours, and the glory forever, amen. For the kingdom is yours, and the power is yours, and the glory forever, amen. And the kingdom is yours, and the power is yours, and the glory forever, amen. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim the mercy of your name, on earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim the mercy of your name, on earth as it is in heaven.
Well, I don't quite recall saying or singing the Lord's Prayer like that when I was younger, so that has a lot of pep to it, a lot of energy on a great lake day like today. And I'm going to just transition into the sermon. So what I'd like you to do is to extend warm greetings to those around you. It is Mother's Day, so what I would encourage you to do is to find a mother or a spiritual mother or a woman. Yeah, make sure that you give her a... Didn't sound right, did it? A warm handshake, if it's appropriate, and only if it's appropriate, a hug. And if you feel extra confident, you can give that special lady a kiss. But I would recommend it's someone you know and is agreeable to it, okay? I don't want emails or letters coming in over the week on our being frivolous with our greetings. But it is a special day, and I love what Rick did for us as he pulled that together. Great video. Wasn't that a wonderful reading? I found that very emotional as I listened to just the full capacity of what women offer. You know, God is the master author and designer. And he looked at poor Adam, a guy, and he said, Adam, it's not good for you to be on your own. And most of us as guys would agree with that. What would the world be without women? So, sincerely, every woman here today, whether you're a young single woman, whether you're a widow, whether you're married with lots of kids, whatever your status, we want to recognize women today. So take advantage of this time now. And just so you know, too, it's an extra special Mother's Day snack afterwards. So I'm actually quite eager to keep this sermon moving today. This is one of those Sundays. Well, I won't spend a lot of time at the door afterwards. I'm going to be in line to enjoy the cake and strawberries. I think that's the way we should do it. Somebody's saying, well, we got a big meal at lunch, but don't let that worry you. I think you should always start with dessert first. I think that's the way to do it. So greet one another around you. Make sure you say hello to Evelyn and Eleanor. Give them a special greeting because this is a tough Sunday for them. And we'll start the sermon in about 3 minutes. See on the slide behind me, I've got that designation, M's List. And some of you may think, well, M must stand for mom. And there's some truth to that. But in this case, I want to explain what I mean by M's List. In our home, there's always lists around. If you look carefully enough, you'll see a grocery list. Heather always manages to have a rather lengthy to-do list for me, and it usually is always there. And, you know, Heather's a teacher. I teach at a Bible college, and at any given time, there's some class lists that are floating around the house. But a couple of weeks ago, I noticed a list. It was kind of a list that I had never seen before, an obvious reason for that. And I'm going to call it Mark's List. Some of you know that Mark has, now that gets Mark's attention. He was drifting off already. Now he feels I better at least listen to this part of the sermon. Mark has just moved into his first place. It was in residence last year, moving in with seven other football guys into a house. Yeah, I know. Isn't that scary? Into a house in Hamilton. And so there was a list, and Mark had been giving this list and been shooting off the items on it, and I must admit, a very comprehensive list of things that he would need for the house, that he would need for his room. And I'm looking at the list and I'm thinking, boy, this is quite a long list. And then I noticed that Heather had added to it, and what was a list that was already long became even longer. And I must admit, for a couple of moments, I felt hurt. Why was this list compiled without any input from me? And then I thought for a moment, I thought, okay, there's some logical reasons for it. When it comes to household goods, when it comes to, for example, kitchen supplies, around our home, the kind of rule of thumb where I'm concerned, the most helpful way I am in the kitchen is stay out of the kitchen. And that usually is my contribution when it comes to the kitchen. And as I'm looking at this list, I'm going, quite frankly, there's a lot of items here. I don't even know what they are, but I'm sure that they're something that you need to use in preparing meals and that kind of thing. As I'm looking at the list, I also thought, you know what, though I'm feeling hurt, there's a reason for this. Between Heather and me, I think Heather is the easier touch. You ask both of my kids, Melissa and Mark, and I think they would say, there are certain things, if you want them, it's best to go to mom instead of me. And again, quite frankly, as I look at the list, I'm thinking, does Mark really need a bed? I mean, aren't a mattress and a box spring overrated? You could sleep on a, you know, one of those pump-up mattresses. So I thought maybe it was a good idea that Mark determined that he should go to his mom instead of me. And as I thought more about it, I thought, isn't it typical in a lot of cases that moms really do have the best interests of their children? And over the last span of about 3 or 4 weeks, I've been involved in lots of funerals and a couple of weddings. It's been a busy period that way. And I've noticed how in connecting quite closely with families, it's often those occasions where the children rise up and call the mom or the dad blessed. It's what I love about Mother's Day. This is our opportunity to rise up as we should. And I have no problem at all bragging on my wife, Heather, because I think she's been an excellent mom to Mark and Melissa, and they will remember it today, I'm sure, as they take us out to lunch and pay for it, right, Melissa? That's now that you're an executive, I expect that kind of treatment. And I must also say that there are times where Heather will say to either Mark or Melissa, you need to go to your dad about that. And I can think of some examples where it's a particular area or a matter of life where I may have more insight, more expertise. And the reality is, when it comes to moms and dads, particularly those who have a strong belief in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, there should be many times where we say to our children, you know, you need to go to your father. But I'm talking about our Heavenly Father. That needs to be the go-to position. And you know one thing, I look here today and I'm looking at you women here, and I know if there's a common denominator, it really is something that you would want for your children or those who are younger, those who you have influence over. Go to your father. I think of moms today. I think of my grandma Johnson, my grandmother. What a woman. She was a great woman. Loved her dearly. And I still remember, I don't know what age I would have been, but she was in her late 80s. And I was visiting. It was just me staying overnight. And I remember it was about 9:30, and I needed to get her attention. And I knocked on her door, and I opened it up, and I see Grandma kneeling at the side of her bed. I mean, she was in her late 80s. How she got down there, I have no idea. But she was kneeling by the side of her bed. She would always pray for the missionaries. That was a big priority for Grandma Johnson, and she would pray diligently and faithfully. But I knew that she was praying for us. When Grandma said to me, she said, John, she called me Johnny. She says, Johnny, she says, I pray for you and Heather every night, every night. And I believe that. I believe that. And I think of my own mom. Kind of sad today because she is living, but she's really got significant Alzheimer's and isn't able to use a phone anymore. That's kind of sad. But her legacy lives on. And I think of my mom often saying to me, and it was often in the real critical points of life, John, you need to go to your Heavenly Father. You need to talk to Him about that decision, about that issue. And so it's why I'm delighted. You might think it's a bit inappropriate that on Mother's Day, we're looking at this wonderful prayer to our Father, but I think it's very appropriate on Mother's Day that we're looking at the Lord's Prayer. A prayer that we offer up to our Father in heaven. We've looked at the first three petitions that would seem to be very much oriented towards our Father's concerns. If there is a shift, we see these next and final three requests very oriented at our concerns. And as we look at this idea of teach us to pray, we come to the fourth request. We've already considered our Father in heaven, hallowed be, or holify your name. The second request being, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And then we looked at that third and final request last week, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So this morning, as we look at these final three petitions, we begin with this petition: give us today our daily bread. How many of you like bread? Okay, how many of you eat healthy bread? Oh, everybody's answering. There you go. But bread is a staple around the world. Rice is likely up there with bread, but bread is a staple. But we ask the question, what would Jesus have exactly meant by this phrase, give us today our daily bread? So let me just unpack this a little bit. Keep in mind that all of these petitions are in the passive imperative. So it means that these are bold requests. Jesus gives us permission. Be bold with your Father. He knows what you need before you even ask, so be bold with him. Don't be reluctant. Don't be hesitant. Don't be fearful. Be bold. And it sounds very bold. It's not one of those kind of immature, you know, give me, give me, give me. But at the same time, we need to be bold. We need to be courageous as we make this request. And notice again, it says it's today. So there seems to be, with this particular request, an emphasis on the present, looking at our present situation, our current circumstances. So what exactly is meant by bread? There's a lot of interpretations. I've come across at least six possibilities, and I think every possible interpretation has merit. You know that Jesus himself called himself the bread of life. And there are those who would say that when Jesus says that we're to pray, give us this day our daily bread, that in a way Jesus is saying we need to pray to our Father, give me Jesus. I need Jesus. And there's something I find that's quite compelling about that aspect of the request. Just yesterday, I could see them even now on the table out there just outside of Carol's office. We have those daily devotionals called the Daily Bread. And so we think often when it comes to bread of spiritual resources, spiritual sustenance that fuel us up for the day. And I think that's an appropriate way to look at daily bread. I think of Martin Luther and others who had a very practical interpretation, which I kind of like, and I would say that while we're very open to these other ways of looking at this request, I think this fits very relevant, and that is that we pray for provision. Quite specifically, bread means bread. It means that we should be praying to the Lord, Lord, give me this day, give our family this day. Give people in the community I'm in this church. Give people in our country, even in terms of the world. Give us this day the physical things we need, the food, the water, the shelter that we need to get through this day. Now, for some of us, this seems to be kind of a minor request, and likely a big part of it is because we live in a very affluent country. We live in Canada. And when you think of other parts of the world, this prayer takes on a whole other range of meaning. We have brothers and sisters who live in other parts of the world, and this has been a priority prayer today because they have been wondering, am I going to have food to eat today? Am I going to be able to feed my family? The other day, our host on our trip to Kenya was down to London. I know Sean and Sarah, I think he had spent the previous evening with Sean and Sarah. Ishmael's quite a guy, eh? He's a character. Lovely brother in Christ from Kenya. And he had come down, and we had arranged to have a lunch with him, and we pulled in some pastors in the London area to have lunch with Ishmael. And then we had a tour of and a meeting with a representative from Compassion Canada. Jerry was good enough to set up that meeting, and Jerry, it was an excellent meeting. You would have been proud of Steve Clark. I'll mention his name, And Steve is kind of a program leader at Compassion Canada. And it was a really invigorating, very positive meeting. And I think there's going to be some really good things come out of that in terms of a relationship with the ministry that Ishmael does in Nairobi with the Compassion International. After our meeting, I'd asked Steve if he would just give us a little bit of a tour of the facility. If you've never been on a tour of Compassion Canada, it's well worth it. I've had two or three, and I always find it quite interesting to see the different parts of the building, and many of us are involved in sponsoring children, and that's quite exciting. So we're on this tour, and Steve showed us this particular place where it was set up like a room, and it was kind of representing a place, for example, in Kenya. And Ishmael was quite excited. He pointed out three or four items in that room, and he said, "That's Kenyan." And over there, he said, "Oh, that's something that we'd find in Kenya." And as we're looking at this room, I'm thinking to myself, "This is that's a nice room. You know, it's not a big bedroom, but it's a pretty nice room." And then very quickly, Steve reminded us of something I should have known. But this wasn't just a room. This would be a family's house. The whole house. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, yeah, that was one of my takeaways from last summer in Burundi and Kenya. We went into some of those slum areas, eh, Sean? I mean, we saw some really small places that this is where people lived. Like the whole family. They all kind of found their corner of the room. This is where they lived. And it reminded me again that this is a very practical request. And as affluent Canadians, we need to be aware that there are people who, when they pray, "Oh, Father, give us this day our daily bread," they literally mean, "Lord, give us what we need to get through this day." I like the fact that it's pluralized because I really believe with all my heart that the Bible's principle is as we are blessed, we are called to bless others. And I don't know what that might look like in your life. As a church, we try to be extra sensitive to those areas of the world and those missionaries who are doing work in places that are dealing with the poor and the needy. I delight in the fact that we are one of the top supporting churches of Byron Cares. And so many of you are very diligent and faithful. We don't mention it every week, but you're very diligent and faithful in filling up that buggy. And we get that buggy. Don, you are faithful in getting it up to the hamper at Byron United. And it's just a really good thing that we are concerned about those who are hungry. Because the Bible's principle is, God blesses us so that we can bless others. And yes, it means sharing the gospel, the good news, absolutely. But I believe it also means that we are caring for those who are poor and needy. But before we leave this, let me just get a bit practical with us as well. I really do believe that we need to be declaring our dependence on God. And there's a lot that we take for granted. I hope that when you sit down for a meal, that it's not a trite thing, or you say, "Well, you know what, do I really need to say thank you, Father, for providing this food to us?" Let's keep in mind that God has been good, and God has been faithful to us, and I think every mealtime should be an opportunity where we express gratitude to our Heavenly Father for supplying our needs. Some of you are in situations where, as I said, when it comes to providence, yes, food and drink, but some of you may be needing to say, "Lord, provide a job." Some of you have big decisions when it comes to schooling. Some of you, it might be, "God, I pray that you would provide the right kind of woman or the right kind of man in my life." There's all kinds of practical decisions, and I believe Jesus gives us permission to take our practical concerns, our practical needs, and present them to our Heavenly Father. That great sense of dependence that we need to declare upon God, "Heavenly Father, give us this day our daily bread." As a young boy, one of my favorite missionaries in terms of missionary stories was George Mueller. Do any of you remember the name George Mueller? Remember, he was the missionary who was involved in this big orphanage, and the way George Mueller had set up that mission was the support seemed to be very tenuous and flexible, but Mueller was known as praying this prayer every day, and there were some remarkable stories of, you know, going down into the kind of dining area and they had nothing, and many examples of someone just kind of randomly showing up with bread and provisions for them. And that's kind of the idea for us. Even if you seem to have a lot, you need to have that kind of faith, that kind of sense of, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Let's move on to the second of our three requests we're looking at today. And forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Did you hear about what happened last Sunday here at Byron? Well, let me tell you, I better keep my voice down low, but I was out in the foyer, and after the service, there were a couple of fellows talking, and I overheard the one fellow saying to the other, I know I owe you hundreds of dollars, but I just can't afford to pay you back. I don't know how I'm going to do it. And it was remarkable. The guy he was talking to paused and he said, God's been good to me, and I'm going to cancel this debt. I'm just going to do it because I want to share God's grace with you. And inwardly I thought, wow, this is something to see that kind of display of grace. It was about 5 minutes later, the guy who had his debt canceled, I kind of was walking through the building and I noticed this guy with another fellow. And this bothered me very much, but he had the fellow by the scruff of the collar. And he had him up against the wall. And he said, I lent you $5 2 weeks ago, and you owe me. And I want it now, or there's going to be trouble. Now, many of you are going, John, that didn't happen. Well, it is a parable. Actually, do you remember Jesus told? Basically, that's the parable he told, right? So you're a sharp group. I couldn't pull that on you. But, you know, as I share that, there's a part of me that feels very indignant. Like, there is a disconnect, isn't there? How could someone forgiven so much forgive so little? You and I need to constantly appreciate how much we have been forgiven. You and I had a debt that we could not pay. The penalty of our sins and the burden of our sins, the consequence of our sin. Absolutely nothing that you or I could do. No way we could earn God's favor or merit it. All of us have sinned and fall far short of God's glory. And I love the verses in Colossians that talks about really what Jesus accomplished as he was an atonement for our sins. He offered himself willingly. He took our place. He took your place. He took my place. He paid a debt that he did not owe. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. And that provides the basis for what Jesus says here. Now, I know there's a bit of controversy with this request. In fact, after the Lord's Prayer, if you read the next two or three verses, it would seem like this is a big condition. Like, if you want to be forgiven, you better be willing to forgive others. Now, When it comes to the whole counsel of Scripture, I do not believe that God's forgiveness of our sins in any way is conditional. But I do believe, given the context of the Lord's Prayer, that our experience of His forgiveness, and that experience of forgiveness forges us into close relationship and intimacy with God. Our experience of all the blessings of forgiveness is conditional on our willingness to forgive others. So let me say a couple of tough things. If you say, I really love 1 John 1 and 9, and it's definitely talking to the believer, and it's talking about what should be a daily pattern in your life and my life. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It takes down the barrier. And you know what? And I don't want to shock you, but all of us this past week committed many sins. It's hard for me to say that. I'm looking and I'm saying, there's some really decent, good people here. But you know what, and I know what. You remember that thought you had? Ooh. Do you remember what you said to your spouse? And afterwards you thought, how could I have said that? Young person, do you remember what you watched or what you viewed? And you knew it was wrong, but you did it. And the wonderful thing is we have a Heavenly Father who is so willing to forgive us. Keep short records with God, but know that He is always willing to forgive us. It's based on what Jesus Christ has done for us at the cross. And we have that assurance of ongoing forgiveness. We can enjoy intimacy and closeness with God. But it would seem to me that if we are wanting to receive this kind of forgiveness, if we want to experience this daily forgiveness, if you want to receive grace, you better be willing to share grace. And here's where it gets really tough. There's people who owe you, aren't there? I've got some people who owe me. You say, he owes me at least an apology. She owes me at least an explanation. Like, why did she do that? Why did she hurt me like that? She knew those words were going to hurt me deeply. John, when it comes to forgiveness, you need to know he owes me. He owes me an apology. She owes me an explanation. And let's be honest. Some of us feel that we're owed retribution. That person's made my life difficult. Okay, God, if you're not willing to do it, I'm willing to do what's required to make that person's life difficult. But Scripture clearly teaches us, and it's evident in this prayer, that as we ask our Father to forgive us, through His help and enablement, because some of the hurts, I don't believe you and I are capable of forgiving others without His empowerment, without His help. But I think the principle is very clear, that as we ask for forgiveness, we must be willing to forgive others. And that would be my challenge to you with this particular request. As we go to the Father and say, you know what, I really did blow it last week. Or I had an opportunity to do something and I just let it pass by. Father, forgive me. My challenge to you is, as we come before the Father, let's be aware of those who we feel owe us. And the same grace that we want to receive, we need to say, Lord, help me to share that grace with others. Let's go on to the final request. So give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And then the third, and this is the first one I called praying for provision. I've called this one praying for pardon. And then the final request, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is praying for protection. Lead us not into temptation. Now, that has caused confusion. People say, James chapter 1, doesn't it clearly teach that God cannot tempt us? So what possibly could this mean when we pray, lead us not into temptation? Well, I believe that to interpret the phrase in context, you need the second part here, which says, deliver us from the evil one. And I think, essentially, this is a prayer for protection. Now, we do know that the word that is the Greek word that gets translated temptation can also be translated test. And I would argue that God does send us into times of testing. And if we lean hard on God and express our faith in God, those times of testing are for our own good. But that same situation, that same circumstance, we have an enemy who would love to twist that. And so it could be a time of testing for our good becomes a temptation that leads us away from God and causes all kinds of destruction and trouble in our life. And I find that really interesting, even when we look at different situations and circumstances in life. In counseling, I have this happen all the time, where people wrestle with how to interpret that event. Do you know, have you ever been there where you're going, is this event a test from God? Or is this Satan trying to knock me down? Or even sometimes we go, is this just a circumstance that happens because I happen to be a human being? And because I'm a Christian doesn't mean I'm immune from some of those troubles and problems in life. I have found when it comes to some situations, my appeal would be just be really open when it comes to interpretation. Our problem, some of us, the problem is we give the devil way too much credit. Like way too much credit. I talk to people, they go, I've got a cold, this is a demon. You know, the demon of the cold, or the demon of this, or the demon of that. And I'm going, nah, you know what? You're giving our enemy way too much credit. Some of us, maybe many of us today, go to the opposite extreme. I mean, we act as if, we behave as if, we don't have an enemy. That the devil or Satan is just kind of, they talk about that with the kids, but I'm a sophisticated adult, and as sophisticated adults, we're way beyond it. I believe the Bible clearly teaches that we have a very real, personal enemy. In fact, Peter says in his epistle that our enemy is like a lion prowling around, very cunning, seeking those he might devour. Now, let me let you in on a secret. You know I love watching sports, but I also love watching like National Geographic programs. And I actually do enjoy watching the wildlife episodes where you've got lions and other predators after other animals. Now, just to appease you, I don't like watching the killings. I usually try to turn it off or turn the channel if they're going to be too explicit. But it's quite fascinating, isn't it, to watch a lion going after a deer or a buffalo or whatever they might be after. And so that description of Satan disturbs me a little bit because lions are very cunning. And they're looking at the vulnerabilities of the potential victim. And our enemy is like that. Satan knows you well. He knows your strengths. He especially knows your weaknesses. And he knows where you're very, very vulnerable. And I don't care who you are this morning. You may be an old saint. You may be a young saint. You may be someone who has got life together. You may be someone who feels your life is in shambles. The bottom line is, we have an enemy who knows us very well. We have an enemy who knows this church very well. And he looks at the promise of Jesus, I will build my church. And our enemy goes, and I'm going to do everything within my power to make that not happen. Now, we have the great promise in Scripture. I love this promise. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And I believe that the power of God and the person of God always trumps our enemy. However, you still need protection. So remember Ephesians 6? That's why we've got a picture of somebody there in armor. And we've got all kinds of spiritual resources that are made available to us. And so we can put on faith. We can put on righteousness. We can take the word of God and we can use these resources in this battle. Because you remember what Paul said? Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. And we need to have that mindset. And we need to realize in Ephesians 6, Paul essentially, after he goes through all the imagery for our spiritual resources, parks on the greatest resource of all. And you know what that is? Prayer. Paul says, make sure I need you to pray for me, and I'm going to pray for you. I know we've got a great enemy. And if we're ever wanting to go do anything of significance for God, be aware we've got a great enemy. But we have an incredible spiritual resource, and that is the resource of prayer. Moms, you need to be saying this prayer about your children, whether they're at home or whether they're away from home, whether they are tight with the Lord or away from the Lord, this needs to be your prayer. Dads, you need to pray with your wives in this way. Lead my son, lead my daughter, not into temptation, but deliver, or maybe even a better word there would be, but rescue. Rescue him, rescue her from the evil one. We have a little park across the street, and yeah, some dads often take their kids down to the little park, but it's often moms. And over the years, as I've observed moms taking their kids with their little wagons and walking over to the park, one thing I have deep admiration for moms is they're concerned about the protection and the safety of their kids. Some of you might be going, yeah, my son lives far away, but I still am concerned. I'll still say, you know, I wouldn't mind you phoning and just checking in from time to time. I want to know you're doing okay. I want to know you're safe. That's something that is just part of being a mom. And yet Jesus himself says, this is how we need to pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So three very practical prayer requests. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I'm going to ask you to stand. And what we're going to do now is a very high risk. I don't like taking risks, especially on a Sunday morning. I like everything just kind of lined up, but we're going to take a little risk here. I'm going to repeat the request, and then I'm going to ask for someone, spontaneous style, just to briefly pray this petition over the congregation. Did you notice that all these requests, these three requests, are all in the plural? You know, give us this day our daily bread. Give us. Forgive us our sins as we forgive others. Lead us not into temptation. So I call these kind of a trio of prayers that a mom would like. It might be a mom who will be one of our spontaneous prayers, but I'm going to need three people to help me out. Don't leave us stuck up here. We got to get to those strawberries and cake. So we're asking you to, yes, be led by the Spirit, but be really open to being led by the Spirit. So the first request, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. The first request, give us this day our daily bread. Will someone pray for our daily provision from our Heavenly Father? Amen. Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are debtors. Will someone pray for pardon for us? Amen. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Do I have someone who will pray for protection over this church and over the families of this church? Protection from the evil one. Amen. Stay standing. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord's Prayer. We thank you for Jesus. Jesus, you taught us to pray this way. And Jesus, it captivates us to know that a short while later, you would go to the cross to die for us, to die in our place. Jesus, you did something for us that we could not do for ourselves. There's absolutely no way in our own merit that we could call God our Father. But Jesus, through the work at the cross, through what you accomplished for us, you have made a way possible for us to be reconciled with our Heavenly Father. Today, Heavenly Father, I pray for someone here today who may not know Jesus as his or her Savior. And that is a starting point when it comes to a real vital spiritual life. And Father, on this day where we give tribute to moms, where we honor them, where we show appreciation to all the women in our lives, Father, this is a time of gratitude where we express our thanksgiving to you for all our spiritual blessings, and especially our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for moms. Thank you for women who've taught in Sunday school, who've led Bible studies, who've sat at a table in the home, who've explained spiritual things, who've prayed with us. Thank you for these women who've done their part in leading us to Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can you stay standing? We've got a great song to finish off the service. And then let's enjoy a time of refreshment before you need to get on your way.
One thing about prayer is that it's not about us. It's all about Him.
The cross before me, the world behind. No turning back, raise the banner high. It's not for me, it's all for you. Let the heavens shake and split the sky. Let the people clap their hands and cry. It's not for us, it's all for you. Not to us, to your name be the glory. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Our hearts unfold before your throne, the only place for those who know. It's not for us, it's all for you. Send your holy fire on this offering. Let our worship burn for the world to see. It's not for us, it's all for you. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. It's all for you. The waves are crashing, the sun is raging. It's all for you. The universe is spinning and singing. It's all for you. Your children dancing, dancing, dancing. It's all for you. Not to us, but to your name. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Not to us.
As always.